Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest, Billy Brim, as they give insight into understanding Bible prophecies to help prepare us for the supernatural move of God to come.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks is here today to expound the Scriptures.
Yes, and talk about a great move of God that's
coming.
Oh,
how exciting. Let's hear it.
Gloria, you and I have been hearing this ever since we came in.
Yes.
We came in back in 1967. And bless the Lord, there were a lot of things that were going around. It was a charismatic move. And there was a particular magazine that was just talking about a lot of gloom and doom. But I wasn't hearing it because I was around Brother Hagin. And I was hearing Brother Hagin and Sister Wilkerson and Sister Clara Grace and Mama Goodwin. And they were all talking about the church
outpouring.
Being glorious and a great outpouring and a great harvest of souls that was going to be before Jesus came. So I would hear all that other stuff that was going on, and then I would hear Brother Hagin. And I saw with my eyes miracles and signs and wonders. But always there was this word from Brother Hagin, you ain't seen nothing yet. And it was like he told to me one day, he said, he just came in my office. I was doing his books. He came in my office and he said, you're going to be here at the close of an age and the change of an age. And he said, there's going to be things. It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. There's going to be that age coming into this age, the unseen realm coming into the seen realm, and there's going to be this supernatural move, which he always prophesied and always saw. So that's what we've been talking about. We've been reading some of those prophecies because we believe that the time has come. And but you have to prove this in the Word. You cannot just go by a prophecy. You got to go by what the prophets say in the Bible, what the Word of God says.
That's right.
So where do we see this in the Word that we're going to have a triumphant church, a glorious church? And where do we see that we're going to have a great move of God? So Ephesians, and today we'll be spending a lot of time in the book of Ephesians this week. Be sure to have your Bible right at hand. This is Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25, and actually the whole book is about this glorious church. But we'll pick just this one verse, Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. King James says it, but it should be her. And if you have a newer translation or the Amplified, it will say her. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. In order that, the Greek word translated that means, in order that he might present her to himself a glorious church.
Thank you, Lord. Help
us. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now we've been reading to you from the Longmont prophecy. This is a prophecy that Brother Hagin gave in 1974. I think you have it right after there, Gloria, the Longmont prophecy. I'm going to read it and then go back to the other.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I think I'll read the whole thing. We read it last week, but maybe you weren't watching last week, but you can catch up. There are ways you can catch up.
Let's hear it.
What had happened was a really fine minister of God had seen a vision of judgment of New York City and other places and wrote a book. And it frightened the body of Christ. So this Brother Hagin said, I heard him say privately, actually heard his nephew, his son-in-law Buddy say privately, the prophet that gave this word was a true prophet, but that the time was for later on. So here's Brother Hagin's prophecy that was given. No, the time of the end is not yet. No, America is not doomed. I heard him say, no, judgment will not fall as yet. Some have seen some things and didn't know how to interpret it. They interpret it as happening now. In the spirit, you see things in the distance, even in another age. Mm. Now, you're going to find out that
that's
as Brother...
That's a good way to say it, isn't it?
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And you're going to find out here that as Brother Hagin gives his prophecy, much of it's for when we live. And he's gone, but he had to give the prophecy. But you have to think about Ezekiel. What about the prophecies he gave? And they've not all come to pass yet. Ezekiel 38, 39, a war that's coming. Zechariah, many of the prophets haven't come to pass yet, but they will.
They will.
So Brother Hagin then talks about this. In the spirit, you see things in the distance, even in another age. When the church age is over, judgment will fall. We are in the church age. We are coming to the end of it. It will end when Adam's lease is up, and then the church will be taken up and will go into the seventh day. When the church age is over, judgment will fall. But judgment will not fall upon the church. For the only judgment that the church will face is the judgment seat of Christ. They'll not face the judgment of tribulation. They'll not face the judgment of the enemy or the judgment of God. Actually, Jesus took that judgment for us.
That's right. I believe it.
For they are protected by God. And there is more to happen yet. There's missionary work to be done. And even the renewal that you call the charismatic renewal, we were in it at that time. And the move of the Spirit in these last days, you've only seen a little. We saw a lot in that charismatic move. I mean, we saw a lot. But while it was going on here, Brother Hagin prophesies, you've only seen a little. Now listen to this. I believe this is coming up. And there shall be those that stand before the leaders of this nation and work miracles.
Ooh.
Then he prophesies translations, and we went into this last week. And it shall be so as it was with Philip after that he had baptized the eunuch, and that he was caught away and found in another city. And so one shall be in this city, and television cameras shall be trained upon him, and the reporters will say, he's here in Dallas, Texas. And as fast as you can snap your finger, a television camera in Los Angeles will pick him up.
Isn't that awesome?
And there he is.
Now
see, that'll be live TV. It'll be somebody famous. And people will be watching.
Yeah.
And suddenly, they know the guy got translated. Some will say, how did he do that? It shall be the Spirit of God that shall catch him away. I didn't say this is going to happen now. See, Brother Hagin's prophesying this in 1974. But he's telling us this is not for then. It's for the future.
Yeah.
And these signs and wonders shall become more prevalent. Signs and wonders have come here and there, but they shall become more prevalent and more prevalent.
Good.
In these last days. And let not your heart be fearful, nor let it be afraid. Now he's going to prophesy a leader is coming. You know how they say at the end of some television programs, this is not necessarily the view of the house or the view of the broadcasting. I don't like it when they say that about Pat Robertson's show. This channel says, those that are expressed, those views that are expressed are not the views of this channel. That's why I don't ever watch that channel, because I only watch Pat Robertson on it. But I like to watch him and the news he gives. So I don't know if the Copeland Ministries believe this or not, but I believe that this next words are about Donald Trump. It says, let not your heart be fearful, nor let it be afraid, for there shall, and on the scene he's already arisen. This was given in 1974. Donald Trump was born in 1946, so he was, what, almost 30 years old. For there shall, and on the scene he's already arisen, one who shall respond unto the things of God, and whose heart shall be open toward God. Your nation that seemed to be cut down to the roots, and the wild birds of the air and the fowls of the air came and roosted in her branches, and did much disrepute unto the nation. Yet that shall all be repaired. Because this man shall say, I will walk in the way of God. I will trust also in him, and he shall be at the head. And many shall follow him. And the work of God shall be consummated, that must be consummated even in other nations before I come. So I believe, and I don't claim that Copeland Ministries believes, but this is just Billy Brim, and write it down, she could be wrong, that the recent election that we've had, even the hardships he had to go through, you know, people disrespecting and whatever, I believe that that's a catalyst. It's going to be the end time move comes after that, in other words. And going on with the prophecy, just after that, Brother Hagin says, I heard him say, because you see, the enemy shall not gainsay the work of the Lord. That's the right. Enemy is not going to triumph over the work of the Lord.
That's right.
And like a trumpet sounding across the valley, I heard his voice so strong and clear, and he said, this is in all caps, Gloria, because it's so loud in the prophecy.
Okay.
I am not coming for a church, the body of Christ, that's weak, emaciated, sickly, and underground. I'm coming for the spiritual giant that's alive and living and working the works of God.
Praise God.
What did it say in Ephesians 5, 27? That he's going to present to himself a glorious church. Not a church hidden down in the caves, and at that time they were saying you had to have a kerosene heater and tribulation food. No.
I bet that tribulation food's really bad now.
Yeah, it's probably bad by now. I don't know. And he shall stretch forth his hands to heal the sick, that signs and wonders shall be wrought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And two things shall shortly be made manifest unto the real people of God. One is further light and teaching,
Lord,
and revelation in the area and realm of healing. Physical healing, divine healing, that will be the key. That will unlock the chain that has bound so many, and they'll never more be the same. Oh, we're going to see great healings.
Hallelujah.
And then there shall come revelation, further light according to the Word, concerning the miraculous and the part that faith does play. For faith is like the fuse that ignites the dynamite. And when the explosion goes off, all can hear and see. But there was a fuse that had to be lit, and faith is the fuse. And thou shalt be able to stand, to take a blackboard, and like a teacher teaching mathematics, write out the equation and come up with the right answer. And any man, woman, boy, or girl standing or seated in the congregation will be able to take that mathematical equation, translate it into the spiritual realm, and their faith will ignite the power of God. Gloria, you've been faithful to teach
Lord
faith.
Jesus.
You and Ken.
Praise God.
You've been faithful to teach faith.
Praise
and Ken
God.
Teaches it now. I've noticed he's kind of gone back to the, well, Brother Hagin would have called the ABCs of faith. How to do it. So this is happening now.
Praise
now,
God.
Now this is happening right now as Brother Copeland stands and teaches on faith. It's like that now when I'm sitting there. So
praise
plain.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
And they'll have an explosion. Their faith will ignite the power of God. Mm-hmm. And they'll have an explosion in their home and in their community and in their church. And right. It will be popping here and popping there and popping here and popping there and popping here and popping there. So get ready for it.
Faith is the fuse. You should write a book entitled Faith.
How about you?
Is the fuse.
Faith is the fuse.
I'm going to preach
that
it.
Ignites the power of God.
Glory
That's
to
worth
God.
Underlining.
Yes, it is. I'm drawing it. I highlighted it and drew a circle around it. Faith is the fuse. Isn't that good? Ooh-wee, I like that. Thank you, Lord, for that word.
It's not need.
No.
God's not moved by need. I learned that long ago from Brother Copeland. Because Satan causes need.
Yeah.
And if God was moved by need, Satan, who caused a need, could run around lighting fires, and then God would be running around putting them out.
Chasing after him, yeah.
Yeah, and he's not going to do that. And he gave us a way to receive from heaven. Faith is the coin that spins from heaven.
What are we called? We're called faith people. Some people wrinkle up their nose and say, they're faith people. Like, you know, they don't have any sense. But we're faith people.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God, and we're glad of it.
Oh, aren't we glad when we first heard that?
We live
those
by faith.
Lessons. And then the Bible says that the believers walk by faith.
And not by sight. Amen.
Now, Brother Hagin, at this time when he gave this, he was actually looking over, seeing into the realm of eternity. So he closes out the prophecy with this. And the curtain was closed. And into the realm of eternity I could no longer see. And into the realm of eternity I could no longer hear. But I looked again into the realm of time, where you sit and live, and say with words from heaven above, these things shall shortly be and shall shortly come.
Praise God. I believe it.
I believe it, Gloria.
I receive it. I expect it.
I believe it with every cell of my body.
It's time. It's
every
time.
Cell of my soul. I believe it.
Praise
and the Word
God.
Of God says that we're going to have a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle. Now, prophecies. We're reading you prophecies.
You know what? You can't get rid of the spots or the wrinkles without faith.
No.
You don't have the power, the authority. You got authority, but now if you're not using faith, you're not using it.
Well, you wouldn't have the faith to use it.
No, that's right.
You have to have faith to use the things of God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Now, we've been reading prophecies. I'm going to read you more prophecies. Maybe some of you don't have access to these prophecies. I have access to these prophecies from way back to the 60s. Paul, now, to show you that it's biblically okay, Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy to do this. 1 Timothy 1:18.
Yeah.
And I put it down here, Glory, on page one.
Okay.
After the long
month
prophecy.
Yeah. All right.
I just copied this scripture. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy was a pastor, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You see, we take the prophecies and we war a warfare with it. We believe the prophecy. We pray over the prophecy. We tell Satan, this is how it's going to be.
We take it like it was the Word
like
from God.
Yeah, sure, because
it is
a Word
right.
from God.
That's right.
Elijah had prophesied that it would rain. But then he told his servant, go look and see if you see anything. He said, I don't see anything. So Elijah put his head between his knees and prayed. Then he sent the servant out another time, seven times. And then that servant said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, we better get out of here. The rain is coming. So he himself had prophesied the rain was come, but he prayed that the prophecy, he prayed that it would be fulfilled. There
he
is,
prayed that it would
yes,
be fulfilled.
There is Bible evidence that we pray that prophecies be fulfilled. We wage a warfare with them. We believe them. A prophecy on
Praise
your own
God.
Life that came through a proven prophet. Now everybody running down the road call himself a prophet's
yeah.
not a prophet.
That's right.
But we know some prophets. You live with one.
I do.
And, we've been around Brother Hagin so much, and we've
yes,
seen
we have.
What
that
a,
was the place.
A true prophet he is. Now, so we wage with these prophecies. These prophecies were given. We paid attention to them, and we believe they're coming to pass. And so I'm sharing them with you this week.
Praise God. We want to hear it.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have a big move of God, and James 5:7 tells us that the same.
Okay.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, yeah. unto the coming of the Lord. This is talking about the coming of the Lord.
We've been tempted to become impatient sometime. So you know that this is necessary.
James knew that. God, the Holy Ghost.
We needed patience.
Sure. Look how long the Jews have been waiting for Messiah.
Yeah.
Thousands
yeah.
of years. We've been waiting on Him to come back 2,000. But they've been waiting like 4,000. And they still believe that He's coming.
I believe.
And I believe.
I'm expecting.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. John chapter 14 tells us that God the Father is the husbandman. He's the farmer. And earth is the field. And it's going to have a crop. And the precious fruit of the earth are souls, men, women, children. And the husbandman, the farmer, has long patience for it until he, that really should be it, receives the early and latter rain. So earth is the field. It's going to give a great big crop, but it's got to get something called the early and latter rain together. Now, the rains in the Bible are a type of the Spirit. The early rains is when they planted the crop, and the latter rains were just before the crop was harvested.
Yeah.
So the early rain outpouring of the Spirit was Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
The latter rain outpouring of the Spirit happened about the time of Azusa Street. It was all over the world, but we say the Azusa Street outpouring. Now, James is telling us, the Holy Ghost through James, that there's going to be an early and latter rain together. We're going to have everything they had in Acts chapter 2, everything they had at Azusa, together plus. And it's tied to the coming of the Lord. It is the coming of the Lord. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until this earth receives the early and the latter rain. And then the next verse in James talks also about the coming of the Lord. So the coming of the Lord will be preceded by a great outpouring. Even the outpouring that Joel prophesied, even the outpouring that Peter prophesied, and then James tells you here, it's coming right before the coming of the Lord. So we're looking for that now. And that's why we're doing these programs.
Praise God.
It is already started. It has already started. And you can be looking for it, preparing for it. That's what we're going to mainly talk about this week. How do I prepare for this? How do I get ready for this? And so, bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's good, Billy. I like that.
You like it? I'm turning it to you, girl.
I'm turning it back. You got the message.
But we're out of time.
Oh, no. We can't be out of time. I just got started. Billy just got started. Praise God. We're coming back, though, so don't go away.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.